Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Cohen. He just cannot help himself. He's got to file a story. He is so dedicated to news, Chris. And tell you something. I don't know if it's anecdotal or not, but I saw a lot of people driving around with Christmas trees on their roofs of the house. Of the car, not the house. Because how could the house drive around? Although, you know, Avery Brothers and places like that, they have moved whole houses. But I seem to be wavering from the point here. Can you buy a Christmas tree, really? You know I'm talking about, and I know you can, but do you like to when it's 80 degrees? Can you really get into it?
It's kind of strange when you go there and you're wearing shorts.
That's how it was on Saturday. It was hot on Saturday. And I saw people picking out trees and then taking them home, and it's... Can't do it. Won't do it. Not going to do it. Do you put your tree up early or late?
I don't know. It's considered early, usually by...
March would be early.
Didn't
or
put
late.
It up in March.
Or late, depending on how you look at it. No, when do you put it up early?
We put it up this past weekend.
I honestly give you a glimpse into my life here, okay? I don't put up a tree, but you know what I do? I decorate the furniture.
The furniture.
I got a grandfather's clock, or whatever you call that thing, and I got a big cabinet that the TV sits in, so I put lights around both of those. And a grandfather clock, it can be like a tree, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Ooh, somebody texted in $71 for a Home Depot tree. Maybe, because, you know, another fact of what Dave Cohen was talking about is if there is a scarcity, you know what that does with the price?
Price would go up. Well, $71, what is it for a 10-footer?
I don't know. It just says $71 for a Home Depot tree.
I mean, if it's $71 for the Charlie Brown tree, then that's a tree shortage.
I never did think it was such a bad little tree, Chris Miller. We'll be back.
Just needs a little love.
Yeah, just needs a little love, as do we all. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about something very serious on WWL. 8:15, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll earlier was asking you, would you feel safe going on Canal Street after all of the violence over the weekend? 62% said no, 38% said yes. And now we have revised the poll to relate to what we're talking about now, and it is our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you think the death penalty or life in prison without the possibility of parole is the better punishment? And those of you that have cast your vote online are saying 65% the death penalty is the better punishment. 35% are saying life without parole. There is a new survey out, a new study, that says a majority of Americans now support giving life sentences over the death penalty. And we're going to open the phone lines on this next half hour. We don't often get a chance to take calls in the morning with news, weather, traffic, and so forth, but we carved out some time because I want to hear from you on this. And as it relates to the death penalty, have you made up your mind on it and what was involved in your thought process? Rob Dunham joins us, Executive Director of the Death Penalty Information Center. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Doing well, Tommy. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Tell me about the Death Penalty Information Center.
We're a national nonprofit organization that provides information and analysis on death penalty issues. We follow trends. We do reports. Try to keep up with everything that's going on in the news. We don't take a position for or against the death penalty itself, but we have been critical of the way in which it's administered.
So what does some of that criticism entail?
Well, we've now had 45 years since the death penalty came back in the United States, and there is overwhelming evidence of geographic disparities in the way in which it's imposed, racial disparities in the way it's been imposed. 166 innocent men and women have been wrongly convicted and sentenced to death, and then since been exonerated.
Give me that number again, please, Rob.
166.
Have been exonerated with DNA evidence?
DNA actually has only been involved in about two dozen of those cases. And that's one of the really, really disturbing things that that we've learned, because the DNA cases tell us more about the other cases when we're looking at systemically. The same kinds of problems happen in all the other cases, but with the DNA, when it's available, you realize suddenly that the eyewitness testimony wasn't any good, the snitch testimony wasn't any good. People were making false inflammatory arguments that swayed the jury when, in fact, the person may not even have been there and certainly didn't commit the crime.
So 24 people, you can say absolutely unequivocally, scientific evidence, these 24 people, and you'll see why I'm sticking to 24 right now, these 24 people, these are innocent people that would have been executed. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct.
So when it comes to 166, 24 would be included in that, and the remainder would be exonerated for reasons such as?
There is now overwhelming evidence that the scientific, the forensic evidence was false, bad cell phone testimony, false, bad analysis by the medical examiner, witnesses recanting, conclusive proof that somebody was in a different state at the time that the murder occurred, a whole range of different things. Most of the time, unfortunately, the single most prevalent cause of these wrongful convictions and wrongful death sentences is police and prosecutorial misconduct. And all of the 11 exonerations from Louisiana have involved police and prosecutorial misconduct.
We're going to pick it up here when we come back. I just want to make sure for people that are in favor of the death penalty that I'm saying this right. In what time period do we know that these 24 people would have been executed that were absolutely not guilty of the crime for which they were sentenced to death?
Well, we're talking about since the death penalty came back in 1973.
I will pick it up here when we come back. Does that change the way you feel? These 24 people would have definitely been executed when they didn't do it. 8:20 more, we come back. Time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to 8:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's going to be chilly today. Highs only of 57. I would call that delightful, but to each his own. Right now, we're getting close to 50 degrees, 51 in some of the areas around the suburban New Orleans, metropolitan New Orleans area. Rob Dunham is our guest, executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center. A majority of Americans now support giving life sentences over the death penalty. What's more effective and where do you stand? There have been 166 people exonerated from death row, 24 of those by DNA, which is scientific, clinical, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, undeniable evidence that people that were not guilty of the crime for which they were charged would have been executed.
You and I would say undeniable evidence. What we've seen with prosecutors in many of these cases is even after the DNA evidence shows the defendant didn't do it, they change their theory of the case and say, well, maybe somebody else did it with them. But yes, I think from a common sense perspective, these are people who, after the prosecution put on its entire case and a jury convicted, new evidence came out that showed that this person did not commit the murder.
Yeah, somebody texted in here and said, oh, in that, and I'm guessing the inflection, in that case, let's just wait till we have 100% ironclad proof beyond a shadow of a doubt before we convict anyone of anything. I think the person that texted this in light of their sarcasm, is conflating convict with execute.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, our law says that to be convicted, you have to have proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And we're human. We're going to make mistakes. But that's one of the big issues with capital punishment. What degree of certainty do you need before you're going to go forward? I would tell your listener that in virtually all of these cases, the cases have gone through the first stage of appeal at least, and courts have found that there was overwhelming evidence of guilt and been wrong. So there's a different level of certainty that we need before we're going to go about carrying out executions than you need to convict somebody. There are going to be mistakes anyway. And that's something you've got to be really careful about when somebody's life is at stake.
And to be fair, in leaving the death penalty out of this in terms of criminal enforcement, there are going to be guilty people that go free as well as innocent people that are convicted of things they did not do. I understand it's an imperfect system, but for those that are in favor of the death penalty, I would ask you, is there anything worse we as a society can do than executing somebody who does not deserve it, who is the wrong person, because that is state-sanctioned murder? Now, a lot of people believe that no matter what situation is or what circumstance it is state-sanctioned murder. But I can think of no bigger mistake as a society we can make than strapping somebody down, putting them in an electric chair, whatever you want to do, and murdering them for something they did not do.
Yeah, and it's been increasingly difficult with the new restrictions that Congress put on federal judicial review and the practices that some of the state courts have in place. It's become increasingly difficult for people who are innocent to get relief, to get their convictions or death sentences overturned. There's a huge battle going on right now in Texas in a case with a gentleman by the name of Rodney Reed, where there's very, very strong evidence that the person who committed the murder was a jealous, racist, bad cop whose fiancée was having a consensual affair with a black man. And Rodney Reed was that man, and he was one who appears to have been framed for murder. He has presented numerous examples of new evidence that suggests that the police officer committed the killing. To this day, he hasn't been able to get a court to review it. He was scheduled to be executed late last month. He fortunately got a stay of execution, and maybe the evidence will be considered. But we've already had an innocent person, Larry Swearingen, executed earlier this year, and there's several other people where there's very strong evidence, including actual killers confessing to having committed the killing alone, and they haven't been able to get their day in court.
I would take a break. I'd like to know if there's a difference between innocent and guilt as it relates to the institution of capital punishment. I know legally nobody's innocent. There are people that are not guilty. Somebody texted in and said, if DNA evidence is so conclusive, why is O.J. Simpson still alive? And the reason is the jury found him not guilty. We'll be back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller. 8:45, Tommy Tucker, WWL, continuing our conversation about a new survey out that says a majority of Americans now favor life imprisonment as opposed to capital punishment. Rob Dunham is our guest, executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you, do you think the death penalty or life in prison without the possibility of parole is the better punishment? 61% are saying death penalty, the remainder life in prison without parole. Rob, when I was a younger guy, you know, everybody, you know, you're in your 20s and you just maybe don't think things through a lot and you got this bloodlust and you want an eye for an eye and those kind of things. I thought capital punishment was without doubt the way to go. Subsequently, and look, I'm not saying I'm right. Everybody has their own opinion. The Supreme Court says it's legal. I get that. I subsequently think that keeping somebody in prison for the rest of their life is far worse than giving them the easy way out. And by that, I mean, you know, giving them capital punishment, killing them. But when it comes to things that you can take back, to me, one of the strong arguments against capital punishment is the fact that you cannot take this back if you are wrong.
I think that's right. Well, I mean, it's certainly the case, and we've had people from an organization called Witness to Innocence, who are essentially the death row survivors who've been exonerated. One of the things that they frequently say is you can't bring somebody back from the grave. If you're going to make a capital punishment, they say it can be a grave mistake, and you can't bring somebody back from the grave if you've made an error. You know, and when we look at Louisiana, we know that errors run rampant in the Louisiana death penalty system. There was a study done here in 2016 that looked at the 241 death sentences that had been imposed in the state that had reached a final judicial resolution. And what found was that 82% of those cases had been overturned for harmful constitutional errors, not just mistakes, but mistakes that were so prejudicial that a court reversed them, finding that it probably had an effect on the outcome. And although Louisiana has executed 28 people, we're looking at five times that number that have been overturned in the courts. And Louisiana also has the highest per capita exoneration rate of any state in the country. More people per capita are wrongly sentenced to death in Louisiana and later exonerated than anywhere else in the country.
You know, one of the catchier phrases I've heard, and I don't mean that in a flippant way at all, is that those with the capital don't get the punishment in terms of capital punishment. Is that the case? Has that been statistically proven?
Yes, and that's, you know, that's one of Sister Helen's Helen Prejean's favorite lines. What we've seen is that when there is a system in place that provides meaningful representation for people who are charged with a death penalty, the number of death sentences drops tremendously. And when we look at the change in death sentences, in the mid-1990s, there were three straight years in which more than 300 people were sentenced to death in the United States. And this year is going to be the fifth straight year when it's fewer than 50, so it's an 85% reduction. One of the biggest factors in that reduction is that some of the most prolific death sentencing states now have specialized counsel to handle those cases. So murder, death sentencing rates have dropped tremendously in states like Texas and Georgia and the Carolinas. Louisiana also has specialized representation now, which results in many fewer death sentences being imposed. The problem in Louisiana is that the system is so poorly funded that whether you're being capitally charged or non-capitally charged, the public defenders don't have enough money to do an adequate defense.
I will close it on. We come back. Somebody texts in and says, hang them high in the streets. Start with the person who shot up all those people on Canal Street. Make it public. Nobody died in the shooting on Canal Street. Two are critically injured. The rest have been released from hospitals. So, you know, if you want that kind of street justice, you can have it. However, keep in mind the crowd could turn on you as quickly and you could find yourself in that circumstance. 8:50 more, we come back. 10 till 9, traffic now on WWL. 8:56, 4 before 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. New national survey out shows that the majority of people think that life in prison without parole is more of a punishment than is the death penalty. That's what we're asking you with our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. 65% of you now are saying the death penalty is the better punishment. We're talking to Rob Dunham, Executive Director of the Death Penalty Information Center. Rob, some of the texts I'm getting in here are implying that if you don't give somebody the death penalty, you let them go or they're getting off the hook or whatever. But if you're talking about life in prison without the chance of parole or probation, that you're going to be in there till you die, that's not exactly no punishment. And has there ever been any statistics or any empirical data as to what is more of a deterrent?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Tommy, because the evidence shows that the length of punishment and the severity of the punishment has very little, if anything, to do with deterrent. We did a study of the last 31 years of homicide data, FBI homicide data, and we chose 31 years because that's how many years of data they had on killings of police officers. And we found that across the country, murder rates were higher in states that had the death penalty than states that didn't, and that was consistently the case. Every other state had life without possibility of parole. Murder rates were lower in those states. I think that what it really shows is that the death penalty has no effect on murder rates at all. And in fact, the thing that is the best deterrent is believing you're going to be caught. And all the studies that have been done show that there is no evidence that the death penalty deters at all. The more important question, compared to life without parole, there's absolutely no evidence that it's a greater deterrent than a sentence of life without parole.
See, one thing that I always thought of, Rob, and we appreciate your time, as I sat down and thought about this logically, and as Newell Norman, the guy, comes on after me, is one of the thing he likes to talk about is emotional intelligence. And that is, if you got a guy that's a gangbanger that is 18 years old, that knows nothing but violence, has been on the street, and has no respect for human life at all, including his, well, then I don't know how in the world threatening him with death is going to matter. However, threatening him with confinement and no freedom and responsibility, I could see where that would matter. Somebody texted in and said, it's an eye for an eye, a life for a life. What don't you get about that? I think it depends on whether or not you're talking Old Testament or New Testament.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.